Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sooner ready. Adam lines one to third. One hop to Donaldson to second one. Back to first. Call it two. Ball game, Blue Jays. 5-1 over the Baltimore Orioles as the Blue Jays win their 10th game of the season against Baltimore, and the season series go up 10-7. And more important now, a two-game lead holding the first wild card spot over the second wild card leading Baltimore Orioles.
What that win also did was clinch the potential tiebreaker for the Toronto Blue Jays. Although I think that we're beyond that now. Jays are going to win the first wild card spot, and they'll probably play Baltimore, and that means you're going to see Aaron Sanchez play the Orioles, pitch against the Orioles again next week. This is Baseball Central. I am Jeff Blair, joined as always by my colleague, my partner in crime, Kevin Barker.
Hi, Jeff.
Howdy, howdy. That was Jerry's call of the final outs of the game, double play grounder off the bat of Adam Jones.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to talk about that inning and Roberto Osuna. Kevin's got some interesting insight into it. I admit I didn't notice what you noticed, but I wasn't looking for it, and you played the game, so
yeah,
it's understandable. But we'll talk about that.
Ask Pete Walker about it, too.
Well, and Pete Walker's going to join us, the Blue Jays pitching coach. Do we have an update on our surprise guest?
Oh,
it's still going to be a surprise.
Is he going to get up? Is he going to sleep through it?
My guess is he's...
He's going to sleep through
it. He's going to sleep through it.
I would. I'd sleep through it.
Do not tease the guest? Okay, so don't tell people. So I shouldn't have said what I just said. I shouldn't have let people
know.
Way to go.
Way to go.
You know what? I'm optimistic he's going to join us. So
don't say it.
I'm not. But anyhow, Pete Walker will join us, and we'll talk to him about Roberto Osuna. An interesting take Kevin Barker has on that.
Yeah.
Last night's game, 5-1 win over the Baltimore Orioles. Storyline, Ezekiel Carrera, Josh Donaldson, the offense getting it done at the top of the order. But Aaron Sanchez, Kevin, his fifth start against the Baltimore Orioles this year.
Yeah.
He hasn't lost a game against the Orioles. Not that wins and losses matter. But he had 10 strikeouts yesterday. So this is a team that plays in the American League East. This is a team that scores a crap load of runs. Like everybody else, they got advanced scouts. Like everybody else, they got video scouting.
Yep.
Like everybody else, they've got veteran hitters. Unlike everybody else, I mean, five times in 1 year to see the same pitcher five times in 1 year. You should be able to pick stuff up.
Yeah.
Why was Aaron Sanchez able to go out and dominate last night? Fifth time against these guys. And more to the point.
He's 7-0 in American League East.
He is with a 2.77 ERA, yeah. But more to the point. Second time through their lineup. I'm just going to read this out because I think this is important. Second time through the lineup. And we all know about the whole, you know, second time through concern. Second time through the lineup, Adam Jones, strikeout swinging. Chris Davis, basically an intentional walk. Manny Machado lines out to the shortstop. Mark Trumbo singles to center. You'll take that every day. Pedro Alvarez flies out to left. Jonathan Scope, strikeout swinging. Matt Wieters, ground ball out. Michael Bourne, infield hit. J.J. Hardy, fly out to nine. That's the second time through the order. Third time through, he struck out Adam Jones again as well. And Chris Davis got called looking again as well.
Yeah.
Tell me why Aaron Sanchez keeps doing this over and over and over and over to the Baltimore.
I think we always say experience plays this time of the year, where I think it's more about stuff.
Okay.
Stuff is really playing. I heard Buck Martinez on your show earlier. I couldn't agree with him more. That the fastball, I don't think it matters. You can't make an adjustment to the way the fastball moves to both sides of the plate. The way the last 5 feet of the fastball gets on you. I just think there's no adjustment. I always try to put myself on the on-deck circle trying to face a guy and how I would attack a guy like Aaron Sanchez. There's not a way. And I say that with a, you know, with a little bit of confidence that most of the time I had a okay approach. And all the time I didn't go up and apply that approach to the fullest.
But you had the right approach.
Normally, I would try and have a good approach. The only thing I can think is what I would try to do if I were facing Aaron Sanchez is try and take his fastball away from him, meaning he has late movement. The last couple of feet move a lot. I would scoot closer to him, choke up on the bat, try and hit the fastball before it moves. I would eliminate the breaking ball. You can't hit it. It's that good. And hopefully he throws me a changeup. It's 88 miles an hour. It's not his best pitch. If he throws me that, he's doing me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would try to do. I just don't think they can consistently do that with the right-handed hitters they have. He eliminates right-handed hitters, basically is what he's doing with the 97, with the 5 or 6 inch movement. He flips the breaking ball because he can. That's basically why he does it. He's getting people out one pitch. He's getting them out three times through an order with one pitch. He flips the breaking ball again because he can. Because
it's a good breaking ball.
It is. But because he can, he doesn't have to throw a breaking ball. I think that's the point is, mm-hmm. And I think when I said earlier on when the Red Sox went into Baltimore and swept them, I said the Red Sox figured something out.
You told me.
Yeah, and I come on this show and I said I watched that over and over and over, and I watched Red Sox pitcher after Red Sox pitcher get ahead with something moving down in the zone away from every one of those hitters. Don't try and go in. Don't try and go middle of the plate. Go away with it. That way, if they hit it, it's a weak single the other way. It's not a home run. And then you elevate with four-seam power out of the zone up. And that's what Aaron Sanchez did last night. It's to me, obviously it sounds easy, but when you have pitchers that can throw pitches where they want to throw them, you know, it's like sort of like the Blue Jays. Their lineup most of the year, this year, teams have figured out how to pitch them. Well, it just took teams, I think, a little while to figure out Baltimore that you can get them out up. That's what they're doing. And you get it out with, you know, 97. That's and a lot of attitude. That it doesn't hurt either.
He, as Buck pointed out last night, was throwing free and easy, looked really good mechanically. I mean, we already know about it, Aaron Sanchez's body language on the mound. He's a commanding guy. And, you know, I talked about this yesterday. I talked about it again this morning. We've seen this from the kid in the
past.
What
does that mean? What is that, before you keep going, what's commanding mean on the mound? Like, he's a commanding guy. What's that mean to you?
That means to me, I'm going to shove this up your ass, basically.
Because he has great stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to me like the intimidating.
No.
Does he look that way to you?
No, but he's big.
He's intimidating because he throws 97
and he's
with a lot of movement.
He comes at you physically.
Maybe, yeah.
And you kind of get the impression, in a very quiet way, he gives you the impression that he's basically
really good and you can't hit me.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
He's quietly that way, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, but we saw that last year, and I know I've talked about this in the past. We saw that last year. That game, you know, he pitched in every game out of the bullpen. He pitched in every game in the American League Division Series. He was mm-hmm. the winning pitcher in that bat flip game. Nobody remembers the fact that he had to stand on the mound for 23 minutes while people were throwing crap in the field. Nobody remembers that.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers that he was the guy in the mound when Russ Martin threw the ball back that hit Shinsu Chu's bat. There are pitchers who would have melted down at that point. This is you know, the biggest game of your life, and that's happened. And Aaron Sanchez didn't even leave the field. He stood behind the mound and waited, picked it up, got out of the inning. And I remember him coming off, and he screamed when he came off the mound of the inning. The Jays go on to win the game. He was the guy who was on the mound when he threw at Elcides Escobar, that Kansas City game last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he hit him with like an 86-mile-an-hour curve, but message sent, job was accomplished. And last night, look, you lose a game like the game you lost to the Yankees where you lose two players and, you know, Mark Teixeira comes out and just hits a rocket.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the whole him yelling back at Jason Grilley and you got the whole meltdown and everything like that. You know, and then Aaron Sanchez comes out and basically goes, hey, everybody, relax. I got this.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
I know a lot. Well, we give Russell Martin somewhat credit on this show. I'm going to give him a lot more credit.
I think
the games he's been calling, the way he's gotten younger guys through situations, even older guys like Estrada, they've changed their thinking. He throws other pitches and changeup counts. They've made adjustments. He takes all of the guesswork out of it for a pitcher, except one guy, and we're going to talk about that guy in a few minutes. But I just think Russell makes it that much easier for everybody else. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that because of the start he got off to, and he's not been able to throw out runners this season, but he does a lot of other things.
Sometimes there's too many damn catchers in this city.
Of course. You know, of course. Yeah, I think a lot of it is, too, that
I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek.
A lot of people have a big interest in this team and want this team to do well. It's, mm-hmm. you know, and when you pay a catcher a lot of money, you expect him to be really good from day one until the last day they start playing. Doesn't work that way all the time. And I just think he the way he calls games and the way he sets hitters up, and he just takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. He doesn't always make the right call on the right pitch. He's a human being. But for the most part, you don't see a whole lot of shaking off, if any.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to be said about, you know, you see, okay, I'll give you an example. You see whenever we've seen the last couple of days, whenever the Blue Jays hitters get the pitcher involved some way with fielding a baseball, sometimes it doesn't go very well for the pitcher, does it? Because they don't like it. They're not used to thinking it through when some things like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pitching's no different. You just want to grab ball, get location, get pitch, throw it. Give him credit.
And he's also...
But Sanchez has great stuff, he's so it's also, easy to work with.
But he's also managed to get almost everybody in the staff to throw their four-seamer effectively, to throw high and to throw the high strike effectively as well.
Yeah, I think that's an art. That's not a... not everybody can throw four-seamer up out of the zone.
No, because those things get crushed quite often.
No, a lot of it does. You know what you do when you miss middle, right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You don't miss corners.
Or you don't miss outside.
In off the plate. You don't miss, like, awkwardly up, you mm-hmm. know, where Russell has to stand up and catch. No, normally when you miss, when the catcher, you know, standing up like that, you miss right down the middle. And a lot of pitchers don't like throwing that. So you got to talk them into it and say, if you throw it here, trust me, we're going to get this guy out. It's a lot of that. It's a lot of trust involved there. And, you know, I don't think all the time we give Russell enough credit.
Now, something you noticed last night, and I said, I admit I haven't noticed it. I noticed it earlier in the year, and I made a comment on this show that I thought one of the reasons bringing Jason Grilley over was so important was that Jason Grilley was a reliever who had a lot of success with Russ Martin. And he could reinforce in the mind of Roberto Osuna, can be kind of a stubborn guy.
Yeah.
Reinforce in the mind of Roberto Osuna that, hey, you know what? This guy behind the plate has got your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
Hey, he's made me a couple million bucks, man.
Brett Cecil's Cecil's bought into put the side down, get it, and throw it.
Now, why does Roberto Osuna shake off Russ Martin so often?
Normally when I did something, whenever I was a player, when I had to do a lot of thinking about it, like Roberto Osuna right now looks to me like he's doing a lot of thinking. That means he doesn't have the feel for something. Something doesn't feel right. It's whether the breaking ball doesn't feel right when he grips it, whether his windup mechanically doesn't feel right, whether he's sore in some places. It could be numerous things, but to me it looks like he's searching. And when you're searching that time of the game, and I think the reason why I say that, you can tell hitters – are seeing that from him. The last couple of times he's been out there, they're comfortable. When was the last time you could say a team or batters are comfortable facing Roberto Osuna? I'm going to say it, never. Mm-hmm. Well, the last couple of times out, they look comfortable at the plate. That tells me that he's not selling it. The ball's not coming out of his hand. Something's up there. Should you be worried? Not real sure about that. But
yeah, as long as it's nothing health-related.
Yeah, I can't tell you if it is or not. I'm just saying the way when you shake off that much, basically yesterday, Russell went through every pitch he had, and he shook off every single one of them to go to a fastball. This is weird, right? It's weird when you watch a guy with that kind of stuff shake off that much.
And that kind of success.
Right.
Working with this guy.
So there's something... There's just something going on with Roberto Osuna, I think, the last couple of times he's been out. And you can tell the way batters. You really watch how they take pitches mm-hmm. now. Watch how they take the fastball. It's like they see it out of his hand. It doesn't have that late where they're trying to cheat, and you see weird swings, and you see awkward swings, and you see guys sort of scratching their head like, man, I better get it going here. And then he flips the breaking ball on them, and they look silly. Something's not right with a Roberto Osuna right now. Can he fix it? Of course he can, because he's got great stuff. But he's shaking off too much. Something's going on there. That's just what I see. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but
it's a great observation.
You can tell. You can tell he's just doesn't have the feel for something.
Game two of the 3-game series against the Baltimore Orioles, the penultimate home regular season game is tonight at 7:00 on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. It'll be Chris Tillman on the mound for the Orioles against Francisco Liriano, the Blue Jays. Thursday, the final home regular season game. Thursday night's game will see Ubaldo Jimenez against Marcus Stroman. Mm-hmm. As we said, Aaron Sanchez, very much the story of last night's game. Fifth time he's taken on the Baltimore Orioles. He's 4-0. He had 10 strikeouts yesterday. And like I said, I find that remarkable that in this day and age, a guy can face the same team 5 times, a good team, a good hitting team, an American League East team, and dominate them the way that Aaron Sanchez has dominated the Baltimore Orioles. Pete Walker is the pitching coach of the Toronto Blue Jays, and I'm hoping that Pete Walker can explain to me why, without giving away state secrets, because my guess, Pete, is we may be seeing Aaron against the Orioles at least once more this year. Without giving away state secrets, why is Aaron Sanchez so comfortable against the Baltimore Orioles, and why does he have so much success?
Hey, well, first of all, it's great to be on with you guys. Sanchez, I'll tell you what, it's pretty obvious watching him right now because he's always been a ground ball pitcher, a contact pitcher, and guys pretty much are looking down the zone for that sinker. But he's made some adjustments, and he's elevating the fastball a little bit, so he's changing eyesight with these hitters, and it was evident last night with the strikeouts. He's never been really a strikeout guy, and I think over the course of the season we've seen him strike out probably more guys than we anticipated coming in. But I think that's a direct reflection of the elevated fastball. The secondary stuff getting a little bit better, and when you have a dominant fastball like he has, he can pitch against the same team 5 times and have success. I mean, it's that dominant. And the movement on that sinker is as good as anybody in the game.
See, I find that interesting because, you talk about how dominant his fastball is and the fact that he was able to make that adjustment in season. I mean, Pete, are we seeing more? Is it just your team, or are there other teams going more and more towards focusing on the 4-seam fastball, especially with their young pitchers?
Yeah, I think there's a handful of teams that have, it seems like they've spent more time doing it, but I know we're one of them. I think it's taken Aaron out of his comfort zone a little bit at times early in the year, but I think he's certainly developed a knack for it. I saw him go upstairs, meaning up in the strike zone last night, quite a bit and effectively. And that, sometimes you see guys that aren't comfortable doing it when they try to elevate a fastball, it just takes off. It's the catcher's reaching up for it. It's something they're not used to doing. It's been kind of ingrained in them to pound down in the zone. And to be able to go down in the zone and then to elevate is critical, I think. And I think there are a lot of outs up in the zone above at the letters, with major league hitters. And I think that's why at times, when Aaron does get hit around, I think it's because he's down on the zone so much, and major league hitters, some of your best hitters are low ball hitters, to be honest with you. And I think it's really important for him to be able to do that.
Yeah, Pete, now, obviously, a person that doesn't study baseball or watch baseball all the time would think hearing a pitching coach say that pitchers need to go elevated fastball would think, well, why don't you do that from day one? Why don't you do that from April until now? Well, you don't usually see a lot of pitchers do that. It's more end of the season kind of thing where they're elevating fastballs. Can you explain why that is a little bit?
Well, I think it's just, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I mean, there's some guys that can do it right out of the gate that have been doing it. They're a little more comfortable doing it. The guys that are transitioning into that part of the game, like Aaron, it took a little bit longer, but it was something he's been working on. It's something that he's, been focused on doing because he knows there's some strikeouts up there. And again, the one drawback from that, you see him punch out 10, means that pitch count's going to be up there, and all of a sudden it's a 6-inning game for him. So, there's a little give and take there. But obviously, we're still, as a staff, we are still focused on early contact, forcing contact and minimizing the pitch count so these guys can get deeper in the ball games. But if he can add some punch outs in when he needs it in certain situations, because I know that was kind of a knock, I think, within the media. And just looking at his game, is that he was a contact pitcher and a ground ball guy, and the strikeouts weren't really there. But, we knew he had it in him. And I think this is a big feather in his cap, I think, moving forward, where he can get that strikeout with that 96-mile-an-hour 14 fastball from the zone, and he can also sink it at 96 at the knees.
Yeah, now, obviously no Benoit in the seventh inning. That means Roberto Osuna is going to be huge for this team the next couple of days and in the playoffs. I think we forget how young Roberto Osuna is. We expect him to go out and dominate every time he takes the ball, and we forget, he's still a young guy. He's learning. We hate to say that out loud, but he really is. He's still learning. And the one thing I've seen the last couple of times, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but he seemed to be shaking off the catcher more than he normally does. And, whenever I was a player, and I know you used to be a pitcher and obviously now as a pitching coach, the more times you think about something, normally it's going to be wrong. And, I hate to say that out loud, but it's true. The more you think about it, the more you're going to be wrong. Am I on something here, or is it just this time of the year and teams have seen him a lot and he's trying to make the perfect pitch?
Yeah, I think late in the year, he's a young pitcher, and maybe, it is a long season, and we've seen him certainly unreal at times. And I think maybe that fastball in the last several outings, maybe a couple of those outings, it's been down a click. But, so we're trying to get him a break when we can, that's for sure, and keep him as strong as possible. But, I think you see a shake, see him shaking maybe a little bit more often. Just maybe he wants to go to that two-seamer a little bit more. Where he doesn't feel like he has a 97-mile-an-hour heater and it's 94, 95, he might want to use that two-seamer, or he might want to use the slider. So it's just a matter of him and Russ continuing to be on the same page. And Russ has done an unbelievable job with him. He knows him better than anybody. So I wouldn't put too much stock in that. I just think it's late in the year, Roberto can do a lot of things. He can manipulate the baseball with the best of him as well. And if he thinks he needs a little more sink on the ball or he needs to cut the ball a little bit, that's something he'll do to get outs. But certainly it's a long year. He's a young kid. This is a tough year for him. When you look at from start to finish, and he's handling it extremely well. And we just want to keep him as fresh as possible.
Yeah, we're spoiled, right, Petey, by watching him pitch every day.
Yeah
we are.
No doubt. He's on his fastball command is impeccable. The one thing we talked about actually 2 days ago is trying to utilize that changeup again a little bit more. He's fallen away from using it. And I think that's especially late in the season. If the fastball at times, it might be a game where it's not quite where it needs to be. You need that secondary stuff. You need to have that changeup to keep him off balance. And I know he threw a real good one yesterday, but I'd like to see him maybe use that a little bit more. And that's something we'll continue to do.
Pete, the fact that Aaron Sanchez was able to have that type of game last night, and I'm going to say in his last regular season start, let's just for argument's sake, does that say to you that the six-man rotation has been a success? That basically getting Aaron to this point, that plan was a success?
I don't know if we'll ever know. I just know, thinking back to that without getting into it too much, is at the time it was what we needed to do for a lot of reasons that maybe you guys aren't aware of. But it was important to do that at that time for some health reasons, for some guys that were banged up. So it did make sense. It did give some guys a breather for maybe the stretch run, because I know our starting staff is as strong as it's been right now. I'm looking at Happ and Estrada. I'm looking at guys that were maybe, scuffling a little bit at that time, physically and the long season, maybe takes its toll. But so maybe it gave him a little bit of a breather. And, in the end, maybe it's going to be important, because they certainly look strong right now. Happ Estrada looks fantastic. Liriano is hopefully gives us another great start tonight. Sanchez and Stroman are as strong as they were now as they were in the beginning of the season, to be honest with you, with their stuff. So, that is the ultimate goal, to have your starters strong at the end of the season and in a playoff position, and that's where we are.
Aaron, in addition to having a lot of success against the Orioles, if you look at his numbers in the American League East, and I know you make a lot of starts in the American League East because that's within your division.
Sure.
But he seems to be very comfortable facing teams from the American League East. Is there an explanation for that? Pete, does it just get to stuff?
It's a desire. He actually thrives, and he wants the ball against every American League East team. Not that he's disappointed with pitching against anybody else, but he's excited about facing Baltimore and Boston and New York. He really is. And I think he, not that he needs to turn it up a notch, but he turns it up a notch mentally. Those teams, he just really, he wants the ball. He wants to pitch in big situations, and it's a brutal division. I don't think the American League East gets enough credit sometimes, especially for the pitchers that have to deal with it on a nightly basis. But he is exceptional, and his mindset right now is as good as anybody in the game. And he is he doesn't fear any lineup, that's for sure. And these lineups, when you look at Baltimore and Boston, they're just exceptional. There's no doubt. They're deep lineups. They're the best we face. I feel, and we got to face them a lot. So for him to want the ball against these teams is says a lot about him as a competitor.
Yeah. Now, Petey, have you had to cheerlead more because of the big change with the 6-man rotation? Did I say that right? I guess it's
no.
Cheerleading. Did I say that the right way? Because, you know, obviously it's not so much about mechanics. It's more about let's buy into it. You can do it. Go out there, rah-rah, let's go. Did you have to do more of that this year?
No, not really. I mean, these guys honestly they all knew the situation. There might have been some, people maybe thought there was some grumbling, but really there wasn't.
Uh-huh.
I deal with these guys every day. Have great conversations with them. They understand the big picture, and sometimes, everybody else doesn't. And obviously there are a lot of things that the media and the fans don't get privy to, I guess. There are things that we're dealing with on a daily basis. So, but they've all been phenomenal. I really love this group of guys, from a starting staff to the relief corps, the guys we've had in there. I've been very fortunate to have guys that are professionals and do what they're supposed to do and work their tails off, and very fortunate in all of them. And I know I'm, that might sound crazy, but it really is. This group's been very special, and they say and do the right things.
Yeah, okay. Now, put you on the spot just a little bit. Obviously with no...
Wait a minute. That's my job.
It is, but I'm going to do it a little bit too because I can. Petey's that good.
Yep.
With no Benoit in the seventh inning, you're going to have to, manage and pitching coach a little bit more. And I'm going to guess it's Biagini and Cecil. Now, obviously, Biagini is a better pitcher the more rest he has between outings.
Sure.
Now, he may have to go 3 or 4 times in a row here down the stretch. How do you get him enough rest that he's effective in those spots? Or can you?
Well, you hope you've done that throughout the course of the year. I mean, this is the most important stretch. The guys have rallied. Grilly's unbelievable down there, making sure everybody realizes they need to do what they need to do in order to win these games and put us in a position to get to the postseason. So, we got 5 games left, and that's how we're looking at it. And if someone can't go for some particular reason or they need a day, they'll come to us. We'll talk to them. And we'll do its best, that's for sure. There are plenty of other guys that can step up. That was the premise of our pitchers meeting yesterday, was that, hey, as brutal as it is and disappointing as it is not to have Benoit, there are certainly some other guys capable in this room right now. We got guys with 95 to 98 mile-an-hour fastballs. We have guys that have good enough secondary stuff. So, between Cecil and Biagini, they certainly can fill that role for the time being. It is a loss, don't get me wrong, but we need to find a way to fill it and for the other guys to step up. Feldman is certainly capable. You got Schultz and Tapera. So we have guys that can get the outs. We might have to patch it together a little differently and obviously attack those innings differently, but we can't. Cecil has been, Cecil for me is turning into the guy that we saw last year. So he's another guy that could really be huge for us right now.
Pete, we're going to let you run. I appreciate you doing this as always, and we'll see you at the park.
Great job, Petey.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care. That's Pete Walker, Blue Jays pitching coach. Interesting discussion.
Yeah, it's. I'll say this: knowing Pete the way I do, if you can't work under him and buy into what he's saying, you should find another profession. Find something else to do, because there at this level, that's what it's about. It's buying into. You throw 4 seamers up.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little uncomfortable.
Yep.
Do it. I promise it's going to work. Yep. You have to trust the person, first of all, that's saying it, which everybody to a man does. And then it's about selling it.
Well, and the other thing, too, we need to keep in mind with Pete Walker is have a conversation with Jay Happ about why he returned to Toronto as a free agent.
Yeah.
First name.
It's
when Jay Happ was here the last time, and the organization really didn't know what to make of him. And, you know, people in the media, we looked at Jay Happ as kind of this big, soft-tossing guy, you know, just really low energy. You know, stick a mirror under his nose to make sure he's breathing, all that type of thing. There was one guy who was absolutely convinced that Jay Happ could start. And not just be a guy, but start and be a number two guy.
Yeah.
And that was Pete Walker.
Yeah.
And Jay Happ will tell you that. He said, the one guy who had my back in this organization, the one guy who talked me up in this organization. Now, I think Tony LaCava had a role in that as well. And I know that some of the Indians people that came over, I know that Ross Atkins and people like that, I mean, they were certainly aware of Jay Happ. But Jay Happ's here because of Pete Walker.
Yeah.
Jay Happ's here because of Pete Walker. He might have been able to get more money elsewhere. He's here because of Pete Walker. And I'm
going to say that I'm thinking Aaron Sanchez is here quicker because of Pete Walker.
Yep.
Aaron Sanchez obviously has got stuff, and it's off the charts, and that's a great base to start with. But the gaining of the weight, that's conversations that Pete Walker had. These are things you need to work on core. You need to be stronger down the stretch. You want to pitch from day one until when you're done pitching this season?
This is a team that's going to have five starters with 30 games. You know, knock on wood. Five starters with 30 starts. I'll look at that and we'll talk about
it. Hard to give credit sometime where credit's due, right?
Yep.
It's hard to do that, isn't it?
We'll continue our discussion about that and take a look around baseball. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker in the home of the Blue Jays. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. I'm Sportsnet 590 Fan Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Jays beating the Orioles 5-1 last night, game two of that three-game series. 7 o'clock, the Rogers Center. Chris Tillman against Francisco Liriano. The Jays clinched the tiebreaker in the wild card with that result last night. The Detroit Tigers, they gained ground. I'm sorry, didn't gain ground. Well, they gained ground with the Orioles beating Cleveland 12-0. Seattle lost to Houston 8-4. I get the sense those two teams are probably going to play to a saw-off, Kevin. It's probably going to come down. I think it's going to come down to Detroit or Baltimore.
Yeah, that would make sense. You know? Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going out on a limb there. But and if it's Detroit, you know, Justin Verlander started last night. So you could end up seeing a Justin Verlander, Aaron Sanchez matchup.
That's what you want, though, right? Face the best, beat the best. Yeah, of course, it's what you want.
Absolutely. In the National League wild card, the Mets beat the Marlins 12-1. St. Louis beat Cincinnati 12-5. Cool moment in that game. Aledmys Diaz hit a grand slam home run. He is the shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals. He hit the home run after attending a memorial service for his friend Jose Fernandez. I believe they grew up in the same street, same neighborhood. So there you go. In San Francisco, they're a half game back. They beat Colorado 12-3. So Barker's prediction of the Giants winning the World Series is on life support, which is where we thought it would be.
How'd Tampa Bay work out for you?
Be quiet. Well, Aaron Sanchez was the story of the game last night. We talked about this with Pete Walker. We talked about it with Buck Martinez. Five times he's faced the Baltimore Orioles. He's won four of the games. And the last game, last night's game, he struck out 10. So you could probably say he's got the Baltimore Orioles number, and I hope like hell I haven't jinxed him. I don't think I have. And if I have, I'm going to apologize in advance to Aaron Sanchez, who joins us in Baseball Central. Aaron, thanks so much for doing this. And as I said, if I jinxed you, I apologize in advance, but I don't think I did.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Why do you handle the Baltimore Orioles so well?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I felt like last year my success rate wasn't that high against these guys. And, you know, kind of coming into the year, something I sat down and made a goal for myself that if I had the opportunity to face these guys, that it was going to be a different story. And, you know, going into each start, I don't think I really was adamant about that. It just kind of worked out that way. But it was definitely something we needed last night, so I'll take it.
Yeah, now, Aaron, it looks like, you know, you seem to want to pitch around Chris Davis. Now, whether you're doing that on purpose or not, sure looks that way. And you always say when, like, the Red Sox come in and David Ortiz, you don't let him beat you. That's the one guy. Everybody else, it's okay. David Ortiz, you don't let him beat you.
Right.
It just seems like Chris Davis, you've grown up as a pitcher. You're good enough to say, I can work around this guy because I can get everybody else out. Has that been a process for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's so tough, with, especially with a team like those guys.
Yeah.
Man, they got boppers from top to bottom, and things can unravel in a hurry. But, yeah, I mean, understanding, you know, if there's a base open and he's at the dish, that it's okay. You don't have to be perfect. You pitch him tough. You make him hit your pitches. You know, you don't give in to throwing a strike over the plate and letting him beat you. So, yeah. I think that's been kind of the developmental stage of the year for me, you know, understanding when to do it, understanding that's okay to do it, and understanding there's times that call to do it.
One of the things that Kevin's mentioned, Buck mentioned it as well, and you know, we've noticed, you are awfully comfortable, it seems, throwing your four-seamer. And I think a lot of that probably comes from, well, A, confidence in your stuff, B, confidence in Russ Martin. But, you know, I mean, Aaron, I can remember a time where everybody said, hey, you know what? Want to be a successful starting pitcher, down and away, down and away, down and away, down and away. Now it seems like, especially with young pitchers, we're starting to see a suggestion that maybe guys need to throw more four-seamers. Have you noticed that, even in the, you know, the short time you've been in the majors, that you're hearing more and more now Pete Walker and Russ Martin saying to you, hey, you know, the four-seamer can be a good pitch for you?
Yeah, I think about, I don't know, say maybe May or June of this year, you know, I was in some games where I kind of elevated out of throwing, you know, letting the ball go, I guess you could say. And I had a lot of success. And when we kind of found that, we started incorporating that four seam up, throwing a little bit more four seams to play off the two seam. I think that, you know, just the developmental of a year through the ups and downs of the course of the season, I think we just come to realize that it's been effective and it's something that, you know, can help. And it has, so we just kind of stuck with it.
Yeah. Now, how much confidence has the changeup given you? I know you throw the changeup not a whole lot, but you throw it right. With purpose.
Right.
How much confidence has that added to your arsenal on the mound?
It's come so far in a year.
Yeah.
That it's one of those things in spring training where you've got to just do it. You've got to go out there and you got to throw. That's the only way you gain confidence in it. And that I've done it, I feel like I've gotten a pretty good, you know, just of the pitch, what I'm trying to do, how it's coming off my fingers. You know, it's such a feel pitch. And for such a long time, it was so hard for me, you know, velocity in terms of velocity was so hard for me that, you know, it sometimes turned into a fastball. And especially if it didn't have the action that I was looking for, you know, and it stayed straight, it was pretty much a BP heater. So, you know, being able to incorporate that in my throwing program and understanding what I'm trying to do with the pitch has been a huge success for me too.
Aaron, how does your body feel right now? Does it feel, frankly, better than you thought it would feel at this stage of the year?
No doubt. But I'll take it. hopefully it feels good for about four more weeks and we can get this thing going. But yeah, my body has responded well all year. I think that's just a testament of what the work I've put in and what a really good job that, you know, the staff here has done to do that for me.
Now, I noticed last night you took the mound, you had JDF and Jose Fernandez's number written on the side of your cap in felt or the, I think we can call it felt pen. It was the whitish pen. You know, it's funny, 'cause I talked to a couple of people on Monday, and they were talking, and I made the comment on the air that, you know, I was watching scenes from around Major League Baseball and when people were honoring Jose Fernandez. And, Aaron, it really seemed like the young guys in particular, there were a lot of young guys, a lot of tears in a lot of young guys' eyes.
Right.
And you know, look, we've all been young at some point. We've all been someplace we weren't supposed to be at 3:30 in the morning or 5 in the morning. And some of us do that when we're old. It doesn't necessarily go away, right, Barker? But my point is, you know, did you, you know, did something, when that, something like that happens, does that give you pause to think about just,
wow,
you know, how thin that thread can be with
no
life?
Doubt. Absolutely, no doubt. I mean, when you come across a story like this, you know, I turn around and look like that could be me. You know, the kid's the same age as myself. It's just so scary, the thought of, you know, something so tragic like that happened. It just really shows you how true and how precious life really is. And for him to, you know, I got the chance to meet him at the All-Star game. You know, I kind of knew him a little bit going to the All-Star game, and what a joy to be around. I just felt like that was something I would do, you know, out of respect for what type of person he was and what kind of impact he had on not only the game, the fans, just everybody around him. You know, just a tough situation, tough story, sad story, just, you know, kind of all the above.
Yeah, now, Aaron, obviously the Blue Jays organization have worked it out so you're pitching game 163. That's what it's all about, right? It's about getting your best for that game. What does it feel as a person, as a pitcher, is coming along as far as you have, because you've had to make adjustments, and I'm sure the sixth man was an adjustment for you having the time off and these things. What's it mean as you, as a person, as a pitcher, does an organization have done that for you and going to put you hopefully in that spot of 163?
Yeah, I mean, if it's me, if it's Jay, if it's Marco, if it's anybody, if it's Joe, if it's anybody in the staff, I mean, the thing about that is we've gone out there and we've done it all year. So whoever does get that job, or whoever does get the call for that game, I mean, we got the utmost confidence and I think in every single one of our starting staff, you know, here. As far as it goes, if this is me, I mean, I think that's a huge honor.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about probably the biggest game of the year at that point. Getting some tickets into October and they call upon you. I mean, that's huge, but that's also what I've worked this entire year for. You know, those days where, you know, you really don't want to lift or you really don't want to do that, and you make sure you get it done because, you know, when opportunities like this come and the chance is here, you know, you got to be prepared and you got to be ready. And I think these are the type of moments that I live for. So it's going to be exciting. You kind of see how it plays out and who does eventually get that game. And if it's me, I'll be ready to go. If it's whoever else, I'll be right there cheering them on, maybe in the pen, ready to come in behind them.
Aaron, listen, we really appreciate you joining us this morning. Congratulations, you know, on the year. It's not over yet. I think it's safe to say that it's not over yet, but it's been a great year for you, man. We really appreciate you. It's been fun watching you pitch, and we appreciate you joining us.
No problem, man.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
Thank you for having me on anytime.
Take care.
You guys are the best.
Thanks, man.
All right.
It's Aaron Sanchez. I don't even want to say Aaron Sanchez, the Blue Jays. What a performance last night. And, you know, and I made this point, my little commentary.
Yeah.
He's exactly what the doctor ordered.
He is.
He's exactly what the doctor ordered for this organization.
There's a handful of people in this world that will work hard when people aren't watching. Mm. He seems like to be the leader of that. Don't come around every day.
Yeah.
Blue Jays are lucky to have him.
Yeah. And as Buck Martinez said, if you're of a mind, take a look at his stats. I'm not saying he's going to be Roy Halladay. Take a look at his stats and compare him to Roy Halladay's at this point.
Yeah.
He's going to be around for a long time, and the Jays are lucky to have him.
Yep.
For Pete Walker and Aaron Sanchez, we want to thank both of them for joining us. And as always, for Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Do not forget, Jays and Orioles, game two of that big series tonight. Francisco Liriano, Chris Tillman. Tomorrow, it's Marcus Stroman against Ubaldo Jimenez. Hockey Central at noon is next. Have a great day, everybody.